Today I'm going to read out of Luke 2, 1 through 20. And it came to pass, it's kind of what you just heard, what you just seen for their kids, but I'm going to read it again and just narrate it. My grandpa used to read this story to us every Christmas, my dad's father, and would read this every Christmas to us as we were kids. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them in the inn." And just as Sean was talking this morning, Jesus wasn't at some hotel and he wasn't at some place where they didn't have room, absolutely, but he was in a place of Citadel. What was it called? Citadel McDill, yeah. And so he was in a place where the lambs were being born for the sacrificial lambs of Passover. They were sacrificial lambs. He was in the place where the shepherds would have recognized that he was wrapped in their priestly garments that were ripped. The old priestly garments, they would take the priestly garments and rip them and wrap the lambs in them. And so he was also wrapped in them in a concrete feed trough, is what you would say. It says in verse 8, it says, Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign. This will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angel has gone away from them into the heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all the day, all those who heard it marveled in those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Wow, what a story. What a magnificent story of a mother and a father, Joseph, going to a place of a census being registered and giving birth to a baby in a manger, not like what you would want, not like what we think a king would be born in, but came in a form of a baby in a manger, and just the low place of life, lowliness, humility, with the animals. And what a story that now he is seated at the right hand of the Father as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Today, on Christmas, when you guys open presents, when we've opened presents as kids, what's left after the carnage? Huh? I mean, does the carnage of paper and boxes and just tape and just the carnage of all over. Has anybody ever thrown stuff away that by accident because they got caught in the paper or got caught in the boxes? It's like, man, now you're digging through the trash looking for it. Can't find those little small pieces. And nowadays, dads have to put all these pieces. Well, it's probably worse now or when we were kids, but now you put these pieces together and you got to find all this stuff. And Legos is who puts Legos together? Anybody put Legos together? We got a lot of Legos over here. You like Legos? I was going to do something. I didn't have time to do it, and I was going to have a present ready for someone in the room, and I was going to have nothing in it except a letter that says God's love. That is the present for us today. God's love is for us. Would you be disappointed if you opened up a present and there was nothing in it, you know, and it just said God's love? It's bestowed upon us today. It's bestowed upon us every day of our life, God's love. Sometimes we might not think God loves us because of the circumstances and situations we walk through. And it's like, man, God, how can you love me the way I'm living today? How can you love me with all the stuff that I've been through? How can you love me because maybe I was abused? Maybe I was physically or sexually abused, or maybe I've been in a drug infested world and I've been in that way, and God, how can you love me? And God says, I sent my son for everyone in the earth. That I love you with so much compassion and joy, even though you're in a place of darkness, and that's where the enemy has tried to capture our lives. He's tried to capture our lives and keep us away from God, being secluded from God, and that's what hell is. Hell is a place, see, right now in the earth, the presence of God is omnipresent all around the earth. And people that don't know God and don't know Jesus still have the capability of knowing or living in the presence of God. It's around us all today. But here's the thing. When Christ comes back and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives splits, and there's this war that rages in the earth, right? The Battle of Armageddon is going on, and Jesus comes back, and he's going to take care of Satan, the Antichrist, and all the hordes of demons that have been attacking the earth and attacking human beings for over the last 6,000 years. And he's going to throw them, most of them, away forever. But Satan will be thrown and locked in the bottomless pit for about 1,000 years, right? And then he'll be released again later. But Jesus is coming back to defeat the enemy forever. But how can a God love us when sometimes we live in this darkness? And we talked about it this morning during worship, that if we begin to speak the name of Jesus, you begin to have a praise on your spirit. You know, I can be in the darkest place, and my sister, some of you might know that my sister's husband is in the hospital, and he's dealing with some cancerous issues and the brain swelling and some different things going on. And you can turn your eyes down and be so distraught about what's going on and just what you see in the physical realm. But what happens is if you begin to praise, you begin to put a praise on your lips, and that's the hardest time to praise, is when you're in the darkest depths of the pit, is the hardest time to praise. But when you begin to put Jesus on your lips, and you begin to call out to the name of Jesus, you start to see the atmosphere around you change, because he does bring light into the darkness. His name is more powerful than any name in the earth, and he brings light to the darkness. So today's message, I want to talk about empty boxes this morning. On Christmas morning, we gather together around the tree, and we open up all these presents, and we unwrap all the presents, and then, you know, these kids, they see the boxes, the 2.5-inch tall box that's like 12 or 9 by 12 or whatever they are, and it's all clothes, right? How many of these kids want to open up clothes? I remember we used to throw the clothes. You like clothes? As a kid? Yeah, but as a kid, we would throw those boxes for last. You remember? Like, that's just clothes. We don't want clothes. We want to see what we got. But at the end of the day, all we have left is after the presents are opened is empty boxes. Sometimes today, you know, we're empty boxes. Mary was an empty box. When the angel came to Mary, she wasn't full of Jesus. She wasn't full of she was full of the knowledge of God. And God seen that Mary was a righteous young lady. And he loved her heart and he loved her spirit. And that he said, hey, Mary, I'm going to put a seed in you. And God filled the empty womb. What's God doing for you today? Sometimes we're empty boxes. Sometimes we're just this empty box needing to be filled. A box that is full doesn't need to be filled, right? But a box that is empty, you might have empty spaces or empty corners in your box that need to be filled with Jesus today. I just want to talk about some things about empty boxes this morning. The unexpected box, a manger. A manger was an unexpected box. When the world was waiting for a king, it expected a throne, a palace, a display of power. Instead, God chose a manger. Feeding trough, whatever you want to call it. It looked like an empty box. No gold, no silver, no comfort, no status. Yet, that empty box held the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It held the greatest gift to the world that the world has ever known. His name is Jesus. God teaches us something here. He does not need to impress. He does not need an impressive package, and he doesn't need us to be impressive. He doesn't need us to be this glamorous, everybody like everybody else. Look at that beauty. Look at that handsome guy. It doesn't need to be that way. God takes the empty boxes. It doesn't matter who you are. He takes the empty boxes and he begins to fill it with this Holy Spirit. You have to be willing to receive God in your life to have him fill your box. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter circumstance today. It doesn't matter where you've been at in the past. It doesn't matter at all. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that the Holy Spirit can change your life. Today is the day that you can be healed and set free. We think that, well, we have to wait. We have to wait. We have to wait. We don't have to wait. Today is the day that empty box can be filled. Empty pride, empty of pride, full of purpose. We get rid of the pride in our life. Sometimes, like me, it was hard for me to allow pride to fall. I don't know about you, but I was an athlete, and sometimes being an athlete, you feel like you have this ability to do anything. Right? It's God's gift upon your life. It's what he's placed in you. But sometimes that pride, because you do things on your own, you do things like, I can do this, I can do that, and then you don't allow God to move. So it was hard for me to relinquish pride in my life to allow God to start to use me. It's a process that God used in my life. So when the world was waiting for a king, or I'm sorry, empty, full of pride. So Philippians 2:5-8 says this. And consider the example that Jesus, the anointed one, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. This is out of the Passion Translation, so it's reading a little different than up there. So let his mindset become your motivation. Verse 2. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as he was supreme. He was the supreme prize. Verse 3. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. I like that where we have to become vulnerable. We have to become vulnerable for the Holy Spirit to move in our life. I'm anxious to see the power of God. I want to see it today. I'm anxious to see the power of God, see wheelchairs walk in and them push their wheelchairs back out. I'm anxious to see the people walk in the crutches. I'm anxious to see that. And I want to see them walk out holding or leave them lay in a pile. I'm anxious to see the cancer. I don't care if this floor is a mess and we're destroying cancer and it's falling off of people's bodies. I don't care if the floor is a mess. If we can be a conduit to set people free, set people free from the bondage of the enemy that he's placed on you. I don't care if a demonic spirit comes out of you and there's puke on the floor. I don't care. Because we'll clean it up and we'll wait for the next one to come in and we'll be excited for what God is going to do. But here's the thing. We have to be vulnerable in our life. We have to be vulnerable in our spirit. We have to be vulnerable for the Holy Spirit to come into our life. And then begin to expect God to move in areas that we want to see happen. I know God has told me many times that there's going to be healing come forth. Over and over and over, this church has been prophesied that healing is going to come forth. And so I'm in expectation. Is it today, Lord? Is it today, Lord? Is it going to happen today? And so I continue on that process. Will it happen today? So from the throne to the cross, he emptied himself. He became a servant. He became human. He humbled himself. These are seven things that he done. He became vulnerable and was revealed as a man. He died as a criminal's death on the cross. A babe in a manger. A babe in a manger. His mom didn't know when she put him in that manger or that trough. She didn't know that he was going to be hanging on a cross 30 some years later. Did not know it. Philippians tells us that Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Christmas is the story of God choosing humanity over honor, simplicity over spectacle. We live in a culture that says fill your life, fill your schedule, fill your resume, fill your house, but Christmas says make room. How many have their schedule busy? How many schedules are busy? Is it too busy to get before the Lord? Is it too busy? We think that we have to fill our life with all this other stuff. And what is life without Christ? What is life without him in your life? Now, I know there's times in our life where we get busy and we got so many things that we have to do. But where are we making room for him? Where do we make room for him in our life? If you're this empty box and God, you want God to fill it, he will fill it. Sometimes God can only fill us when we are willing to be emptied. Listen to that. Sometimes he will only fill us when you are willing to be emptied. If we have so much stuff in us that we cannot make room for him, how many have a garage? Anybody have a garage? Can you fit anything else in your garage? Yes. Another car? If you had a 68 Camaro, you'd probably fit that in there, couldn't you? You'd make room, right? So if there was something in your garage was full of stuff. And I know I've seen people's garages, right? And it's packed up and all along the walls and you got room just to put something just little in, right? But if somebody gave you something that you really desired and you really wanted, it was that, like that perfect gift, absolutely you would find room. Absolutely. A 1974 Nova, right? Right, Cliff? 1974 Nova. I made room for that thing in my garage. I had plenty of room. Plenty of room. But the things that you desire, you will make room for him. You will make room for that, right? You ladies that have these jewelry closets or jewelry things that you put all your rings and your necklaces are in and jewelry box and maybe it's just stuffed full, right? And then your husband or your boyfriend gets you this precious, precious ring. Would you make room? You make room, right? Because you desire. It's not the ring. It's the beauty, right? It's you'll make room for it. Do we make room for God in our life? Do you desire the good things of God? Do you desire riches? Do you desire wealth? Do you desire to see healings happen? Do you desire to be set free? Do you make room for him? What's that look like? What does making room for God look like? You know, we're told over and over and over that you must just devour this word, and that is true. That is true. You must devour the word. But I know that the scholars, I know that the Pharisees and Sadducees, I know that they devoured the Old Testament. They devoured the Torah, and they knew the Torah. But when the word of God was standing in front of them, the Bible tells us in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. In the beginning was the word. They read, in the beginning was the word. It says very in chapters 1, and God, anyway, they devoured it and didn't recognize it. And I know people tell you, devour the word, read it, and you'll spend all your time reading. You'll spend all your time reading through the word. And you're getting knowledge of the word, you're getting knowledge of who God is, and that's a good thing. I'm not saying it's not good, but where did you make room for him personally in your life? You're making room in your cranial area, you're making room in your brain for the knowledge of God, but where did he fit in 12 inches below? Where did he fit in here? Did you make room for him here? Do you make room for him for your relationships, for your wife? Does your wife consume your room? Does your girlfriend or husband consume your room? Do they consume you where you cannot move in the presence of God and empty out a place for the Holy Spirit to dwell? We must make room. We must empty out things to allow desirable things to come into our life. Does that make sense? Empty out pride, fear, resentment, or control. How about empty out unbelief? How about empty out forgiveness? How about empty out those grudges that you have for people? How about empty out those offenses that you have against people? How about empty those out? How about get rid of those things that you can allow? Because if you have offense and you have grudges and you have hatred towards someone else, that's filling your heart. There's no way that you can make room for Holy Spirit to come in and move in your life if you have this hatred, unforgiveness, unbelief, and you have this offense against people. You cannot make room for Holy Spirit to move in your life. Yeah, you can read about how to get set free. You can read about the name of Jesus. You can read about Paul's life. You can read about him going on missionary journeys. You can read about him setting captives free. And you can read about him getting whipped with the scourged and all kinds of other stuff, being tortured. But are you making room for him in your heart? When you make room for him in your heart, things begin to change in your life. I've seen tough guys that are abusive, and I've seen people change instantly and change a family. Because all he did was made room. All he did was emptied out those things that he didn't want anymore. And he didn't want to handle those things anymore. He didn't want to deal with those things anymore. But when he emptied them out and he allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and dwell in that place, then with the knowledge of God from the word, it changes your whole life. It changes everything about you. Then it changes your circumstances. It changes your future and the direction and the trajectory that you're going. The third thing is the gift that looks small. Jesus was just a small little baby, right? Doesn't say how big he was. Just say an average baby is 8 pounds. He's this 8-pound baby. She was a 14-year-old girl having this little baby. So he might have been 7 pounds. Who knows? Placed in a manger. This little package that packed the power that even Herod wanted to kill. All the babies that were 2 and under, he wanted to kill them all. He wanted to get rid of. Imagine walking past the stable that night. Just imagine walking past that stable tonight and you see a baby in a manger. You would have thought, man, there's no room. This place is crowded. Everybody's around. And she had to, man, so sorry, Mary, that you had to give birth in this place. But baby, your baby's beautiful, right? And they would have walked on. You might have thought, nothing special here. Just a baby in a manger, right? But shepherds were the only ones invited. Ordinary people overlooked. Christmas reminds us that God often places his greatest gifts in places the world ignores. The value of a gift is not in the box, but in what God puts inside the box. That's the value of the gift. It's not the box itself, but what's inside the box is the gift, right? That's what's most valuable. Most valuable thing of your life. The most valuable thing of your life, your soul. And God knows it, and so does the enemy. The enemy knows that's the most valuable thing in your life is your soul. What's he go after? The soul. How's he change you? Through the mind. Where does he attack mostly? The mind. Right? When he gets your mind, he gets your thought process thinking differently. And then he attacks you. And then he steals your soul because you begin to get pulled away by the desires of your heart that you haven't emptied out yet. And so all of us have been pulled away. All of us in this building have been pulled away from the desires in our heart. I'm just going to tell you that. That's a true fact. You might say, no, I've never been pulled away from God. But I'm telling you, there's times that the desires in your heart, the enemy is tempted, because the enemy tempts everyone. You're not exempt from the temptation of the enemy. I don't care if you have the Holy Spirit in you. I don't care. Jesus was not exempt from the temptation of Satan. That means we are not exempt from the temptation of God. Or temptation of Satan, I'm sorry. But God sets a way to set us free. So even though we have the Holy Spirit in us, even though we've been saved and we have asked Jesus to live in our life, we're still tempted daily. It's how do you deal with those things? How do you deal with those temptations? Number four, from empty mangers to empty tomb. Christmas cannot be separated from Easter. It cannot be. It cannot. We talked about it today. He said, what is the two greatest days? Some picked Easter, some picked Christmas. But you cannot separate the two. Without Jesus being born in the manger, there is no Easter. There is no resurrection. The baby laid in a borrowed manger would one day be laid in a borrowed tomb. And that tomb would be empty. The empty manger tells us God came near. The empty tomb tells us death is defeated. What the world calls empty, God calls victory. Listen to me. What the world calls empty, God calls victory. When you empty yourself of yourself and allow him to fill you, there's victory. Number five, what empty boxes do we bring today? What empty boxes do we bring today? What empty boxes do we bring today? This Christmas, many of us come carrying empty boxes. We come empty. I don't know if you, do you ever feel empty in your life? Do you ever feel like you're overwhelmed? Do you ever feel like, man, there's just so much going on? Empty hope? Anybody have empty hope? Empty hearts? Empty hands. It could be monetary, empty hands. Empty homes. Some people might not have homes. Here's the good news. God specializes in filling empty boxes. Bring him your emptiness. Bring him your need. Bring him what feels like nothing. That is exactly what he'll use to fill you this Christmas. There's a video. Anybody watch the Nativity story? Anybody seen that? It's been out a long time. You had the Passion of the Christ, and then you had the Nativity story. And there's this. I would have played it, but I didn't get it on the screen. But I'll just tell you, there's a place where Mary comes, and she comes to her aunt, and when she's walking up to her aunt, the baby leaps in her womb. And she said, "Oh God, blessed child of God," as she talks to Mary, "you're so blessed," because she knew instantly that she was carrying the baby, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There should be this excitement when you come into a place of his presence. There should be an excitement when you come into that place. It could be in your home. It could be anywhere. When you begin to empty yourself. I mean, here's the thing. God can't fill places that are full. Right? If you're the Bible tells us that they would be continually be refilled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they emptied out themselves. They would empty themselves out. They would be in the prayer room. They would be in a place of prayer, hungry for God. Because, see, the disciples emptied themselves of their life. The disciples emptied themselves of their life. I don't know, and I think I do know, I think that when Christ was crucified in the grave, they already made plans to go back to their old ways. They already made plans to go back to their old lives, because we see that's where Jesus found them. They went back to fishing, right? We see that's where he found them. Even though he was resurrected, right? He showed himself to them. It says later on, it says that they seen him afar off. He wasn't with them all the time. They didn't know what was going on, but they went back to fishing. And then Jesus, 40 days right before he ascended, the 40 days that after his resurrection, he catches them at the Sea of Galilee, and they notice him. They eat with him, and then he ascends. At that moment, when Jesus said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, I want you to go there and wait. At that moment, they decided in their heart that they were going to change. That they were going to empty themselves of everything they had and everything they'd known. And they were going to go wait and see what happens. I don't know if they really knew what was going to happen. I don't know those 40 days and how Jesus taught his disciples. I would have loved to have been or seen somewhere that writes about what Jesus taught them about the kingdom. I would have loved to know what he taught those disciples about the kingdom, because they waited in that upper room, and the people that maybe was not around the teaching of Jesus for those 40 days but knew that he was alive and walking the earth, that they, the ones that left the upper room because 10 days was too long, they didn't understand of the emptiness. They didn't understand of what God had taught them or Jesus had taught them in those 40 days. But here's what I'm saying is, if you empty yourself at any point in time in your life, if you empty yourself of your desires, of your wants, and allow God to move in and say, God, you know what? I'm going to empty myself of my pride. I'm going to empty myself of the things that I desire most. And I'm going to desire you more than anything. He's going to end up filling you. You know, we talked about there's times, and I've talked to other people too, that we've chased after God for 6 months or more. Like, dude, God, do it again. Do it again what you did 6 months ago. Do it again. Show me again. And sometimes it might take 6 months. It might take a year. It might take 2 years. But are you faithful enough to keep pressing in for God to fill you up? So as we conclude this morning, so when you see an empty box this Christmas, it's already been destroyed and the wrappings are off of it and it's not under the tree anymore. In your heart, I want you to think, or in your life, remember. Empty doesn't mean useless. How many use boxes over? I know my mom used to. It's like, I'll save them for next year, right? They would get burnt in the fire is where they would go. Empty boxes does not mean useless. Just because you're empty today, or you feel empty today, or maybe you're full today and you need want to, you don't, really don't want to empty yourself out because you don't want to have that the anxiety of, now what am I going to do? You're not useless. God will fill you. Empty does not mean forgotten. God has not forgotten you. He will never forget you. The Bible says he will never forget you. He will always be with you. The Bible tells us he will never leave you nor forsake you. That means he's always with you. Empty may be the very place where God is about to show up. Think about that. Empty now might be the very place God is about to show up in your life. Because Christmas is a story of a God who fills emptiness with hope, light, and love. That's who our God is. Hope, life, and love. I just want to just put some music on just for a moment. I don't want to linger this, and I don't want to. It's Christmas. The greatest gift is not monetary. The greatest gift is not your desires. It's the gift of Jesus. is the gift of Jesus that came into the earth. You know, if you're dealing with something this morning, you lay it at the altar this morning.